Hey, everybody. On For Design Your Business, we've made it our mission to give you so many tools and strategies that you'll need if and when you become ready to get support in your design business. And today we're going to switch gears a little bit and also talk about 4D Biz and how we actually offer that support through what we call our fractional model. So if that does not ring a bell to you, definitely go back. One of our very first episodes that we ever published is called The Fractional Model, and it'll go into why hiring sucks and is not always the right move for you, what the fractional model offers that's different and more flexible with more skill sets available to you. And then today we're going to talk to you about how we actually make it happen.
100%. This has been another 80,000 enhancements and perfecting this. And you know, when it comes time where you really need an assistant, everyone just wants it to be magic, you know?
Yeah.
I want to get an assistant. I want them to do all my things, assume my needs,
have all the skills to do everything well.
Right. And also be a successful leader in delegation. There's a lot of desires, a lot of dreams out there. And we've done a lot of work crafting what this journey looks like to help you through the process, not just you, also the assistant working with you.
Or even more successfully, assistants, plural. Because when you go to hire yourself and you bring one person into your business, they're going to have one finite set of skills. Even a really well-rounded individual with a lot of skills can't do everything. And they're also going to have needs. They need to pay their bills. It's hard out here. We're all hustling. And that could sometimes be more than what your business actually needs or can financially carry. And so our fractional model and what we offer is a team of virtual assistants available to you by the hour on a super flexible basis so that you can realistically tap into every single skill set you would need to support every avenue of your business where you need help. And with either no commitment or low commitment, find an entry point that you can financially support sustainably.
Yeah. This is such a little segue here, but here's a story about this. So we have a designer that is working with us in just executive partnerships, high level, and has assistants overseas, Philippines assistant company, whatever. She, I think, took that assistant and paid her directly outside of this company she got and even leveled her up on a little raise, but she's paying $15 an hour. At the end of the game, she's paying $15 an hour for someone in the Philippines. And what we did together, and the business hit a hard patch, and this is someone she was carrying, I think it was like 30 hours weekly consistently. Everyone is needing that commitment of that full-time range or that higher level part-time range, typically when you're looking to hire someone. Okay, so I'm trying to get her on board with connecting her pricing model to hours and really helping her understand that in reality, if you have the right pricing model, the right operational systems, and the right systems to manage the money, it doesn't matter what you pay. Even if you're paying $95 an hour for a higher level someone, human, if you're charging $195, you're making $100 an hour. Whatever you're charging, you can calculate that profitability instantly, and hours become easy to pay out as long as they're connected to your billing and your pricing model. So the exercise I did with her was we took the average that she sold, all of her design services sold, we converted that into a billable hourly rate. We also did an exercise that calculated the percentage that she would typically delegate off the project. So she would run all the procurement. Basically, the design would be done. And from that point, she passed it over. So we were able to make that calculation. And then as her quote unquote filler work, outside of that, she was doing marketing related things like social media or any kind of as needed things. At the end of the exercise, it kind of blew her mind. We found out that she was paying $65 an hour. $65 an hour is what she was truly paying for where it actually connected to billable work. And that all of the hours that were fluff were completely unnecessary. And even when she was pouring time into social media, you certainly don't need 20 hours of social media happening when you have no procurement going on. So it is that kind of aha moment. There's the fractional lens that likely when you're starting out, if you're just starting out, you don't even need 20 hours a week. That's not what you need. You're not there yet.
And where those hours will go to will ebb and flow based on what phase of your projects that you're in. So it is really difficult to find one person who can ebb and flow with you in terms of hours, ebb and flow with you in terms of what they're working on without allowing the quality of the work to ebb and flow, which you can't afford.
Yeah. If you don't have 20 billable hours to delegate consistently every single week, and you're really thinking that the billable hours are even half of that, then whatever you're paying that you think you're saving, you're just doubling that because you have all this fluff work. So if you're a human right now who has someone in support with tons of fluff work, this should be your reasoning to just end it. Control your profitability. Don't ebb and flow so strongly because you're carrying a human in times that the business doesn't even need the support.
Right.
Okay, that's level one. Then level two, which we've talked about many times, but level two is one human is not going to be all the skills. That's what Evelyn's saying, but also is not going to be able to juggle all your priorities because they're just one human that can work in a top-down list. So as that business evolves, typically internal triggers for us operationally is when you're somewhere between 10 to 15 hours of support with one human, it's typically a trigger that you need to start diversifying that role. And likely you're already getting the red flags that there are bottleneck days. Friday might come and your end of the week systems are stacking up and time is running out, but there's another priority that needs to close out a client and get them taken care of. And if there are days that become frustrating and compounding, and you hopefully are not pointing the finger at your assistant who's doing great and just trying to keep up with you, this should be your trigger that now you have to diversify that role, get some additional support inside of there so that you can juggle these priorities.
Yeah, multiple priorities can move forward at a time. If someone you've previously trusted and thought did great work is all of a sudden not responding as fast, not getting things back to you quite as quickly, very likely their quality of work and focus hasn't changed at all. They just have more on their plate than they did before.
Yeah. Typically in this fractional role, if we're analyzing data and you're bringing in the three divisions of our support, you've got marketing assistants coming in, design assistants, administrative assistants. This typically looks like probably 3 to 5 people, depending on what's going on and what exactly you are delegating. But on average, it's like 30 hours a week.
Right.
Between all these people to get it fluid and flowing and ebb and flow as you need. So of course, you're going to hit pockets, especially in procurement. You're placing orders. There's all these moments in the project that you can have this quick little burst of support that's needed. You shouldn't have to carry that through 12 months and only pay for that as you need. And that's what we say really is the beauty of 4D Biz. It's all the mistakes that I spent hiring dedicated humans, trying to have a growth path for them that I'm already struggling to fill their capacity. Then that's going to hurt your retention. If you can't give someone growth, they're not staying long. I promise you that. And so then you're on the hamster wheel again, fighting capacity, ebbing and flowing.
Oh my God. And then when you're busiest, you're also trying to hire and take it from us because this is what we now take on for you. The hiring, the training, the management, which always means micromanagement, the development of a team, the retention of a team. That's a full-time job. Plus, you don't have time for that. It's not what you want to be doing. We offer that whole variety of skill sets, super flexible, by the hour, use us as you need us. Hopefully, we just sold the why of the fractional model to you right there. But like I said, there's a whole episode on it. So if you're curious, you're like, ooh, let me hear how that was developed. All of that exists. Now, let's say you're ready to say like, okay, I get it. Fractional assistant support with different specialties, design, admin, and marketing. Like, sounds great. How do I make it happen? That's what we call the onboarding process.
And I'm going to call it fractional and dedicated. I don't want it to feel like fractional. It's like there are sometimes another. It's a fractional dedicated team that feels like they're full time because that communication is easily sprinkled throughout the day. So, okay, I feel like we have done so much work on our assistant onboarding processes. And what was really important to me is you get the necessary education and support to make it successful. So, we're going to basically talk through the journey of how we would do this through all the assistants.
Yep. And if you come to us, one thing I just want to say, and you're like, I need admin right now. I totally get it. I'm going to want drafting. I'm going to want marketing. But like right now, my need is admin. We can onboard one team at a time. For the purposes of today's episode, we're going to talk to you about what it looks like to onboard all three. That's when we feel the fractional model does the most for you. It's what we're working towards with you. But you can certainly just do pieces of this process to onboard one team or the other.
Yeah. So meeting one. You meet with your COO. Yes, I'm going to say that you have a COO tied to you regardless. If you are in an executive partnership, we are constantly overseeing assistants. That's why we're not a placement company. Operations meets with assistants on continued development weekly or biweekly, depending on your level of service. Okay, so you meet with your COO, meeting one. What that meeting is every single task you could possibly think of to delegate.
And the ones you couldn't even think of.
And the ones you couldn't. In a monster list of a spreadsheet.
Templated list that we have prepared for you top to bottom.
All done.
Through your active projects and the tasks you might want to delegate within that. Through your business operations and the tasks you might want to delegate within that. We have wrung out the towel. Yes. Of every task you might possibly be considering or not even considering or realizing you need that you could possibly delegate.
Yep. Meeting one is giving you every template that we need you to dump all the necessary information into. So we're going to find out who your current team is, what your current active projects are, and what phases those are in, what accounts. We have a list of all the possible technologies you would have to be able to put your login and password information in. And yes, the biggest brain dump and workshop with that COO is like, what's the plan? What are we planning to delegate? Is it successful? Do you need support on developing this? And if it's successful, how are we doing it? Or how are we going to do it?
Yes, seeing the list is great because it's like, oh, aha, I never even thought that someone could help me with this. That's huge. Then it's also like, is this a now or is this a later? I need to delegate this now in order to free myself up. Or like when I'm freed up, I would love to come back to this one. So we're going to have now tasks. We're going to have future tasks. Now for your nows, it exists on a spectrum from like, yes, I need to start delegating this, but I have no idea how to do it successfully. There's no system. Help me figure this out. To like, I have this completely locked in. Just take it and do it exactly my way. And everywhere on that spectrum in between. So we're going to help you figure out all your nows, how ready they are, so we can come in to fill in the gaps of anything that isn't all the way on that side of the spectrum that's like, do it this way. Here's my instructions.
Yeah. So that work gets started on that first call. And yes, there's homework after that. The more you put into that, the better in terms of training that will go on behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm. Because we take on the training and the management for you, but we can only do that with your input, with your involvement, with your time. So this isn't instant. We have figured this out. We know what to do. We know what to ask you and how to get you involved, but be prepared to have that involvement and that time invested.
Yeah. And behind the scenes, what we are able to do after that meeting, and this is our recurring systems for our executive team, is to now look at the technologies, look at what you plan to delegate, and make a match for the handful of people we likely have available to start a match with.
Mm-hmm. What is your time zone and where do you like to work? Do you always want evening and afternoon meetings? Because maybe someone on Pacific is actually better for you because they're going to always be available at the times that you want. So that matching process is super intentional. It's your working time. It's the hours that they have available. Are they going to, you know, have the capacity to support you in the ways that they need? Their technology and experience compared with the technologies you're using, their task types and specialties compared to the task types you're looking to delegate.
Yep, exactly. And then also it kicks off any possible training that we want to enhance in them. So if you're using a technology, this particular assistant we think is a perfect match for all the things. They've ran, let's just say, procurement loads of times, but hasn't used design files, which is super simple. We have all the trainings behind the scenes. So after that call, we're immediately able to have our meeting, make a match, and start putting in the work with the assistant to start understanding what technologies they're going to be using and what they're going to be executing for you. So that's all meeting one. So if you've been in an assistant onboarding, we're kind of nagging you for filling out those passwords and technology and things like that. It's all with purpose so we can get as much time absorbed into your assistant coming behind the scenes. Okay. Next meeting, you meet with your fractional CEO, which is me. And in that call, what we're then doing is enhancing. Next step, we're looking at everything you plan to delegate and create a routine for success. Simple things. You want them to communicate with your vendors, open accounts, collect pricing, do order tracking. All of that centers around email management. So we're going to create a routine around email management. Are they logging in twice a day, three times a day, only once a day? Because there's not much going on right now and you want that top of day, end of day. Because I'm going to program it in their technology so they don't even have to think. They're just going to show up and this is going to tell them what to do. Are they also managing your email? Are you wanting to start your day with an inbox that has all the promotional stuff cleared out with emails organized in client folders, let's just say, or emails possibly pre-drafted? So many layers of these things. That's just one simple system. When are we meeting? What type of leader are you? What type of delegator are you? That's going to dictate some meeting systems or calling systems. That might be, you know, a twice weekly meeting, or you might have a daily closeout call and just one operational set meeting where you put in the work a day. So many systems. We talked about the operational systems where on Monday you're going to have to manage tasks. Are they supporting that? Time log tracking systems is a big one. No owner ever tracks their time great. Like, it is what it is. You get the pass, the team doesn't. So whatever you need, even if it's that daily check-in where you're sending a picture of your notebook because you can just write it by hand, or someone is calling you and checking your calendar and being like, did all this get done? I'm collecting your time logs. Is anything different? So the daily or weekly time log reconciliation, the weekly reports, there are so many systems. Depending on where you are, these systems could look like anywhere from 3 to 8 hours of recurring systems. And what this meeting allows us to do is find that minimum baseline. Now that we know everything you want to delegate, a good chunk of it is associated to a recurring routine that can be locked in. And then yes, we have some as-needed tasks such as sourcing, presentation boards, order placement. These are things that just occur as needed. And we're going to go track that data together in the first 3 months. So that's where we make our recommendations that based off of this routine, here's where you should start your contracted hours. Someplace between 3 and 8, it typically is. And then we go learn for those as-needed tasks, presentation board support, all the things, where as you start growing and succeeding with your assistant, we can climb that contract. We're so flexible.
Yep. What I also love about this second meeting, and if you've listened to this podcast before, this is probably not a huge surprise, but there's a little bit of that tough love combo too of how can you be successful? Yes, we take it on to make sure that our team is going to be successful in alignment with what that looks like for you. But also there is an ask of you to become the leader, and Shayna's going to help you build yourself into that leader that you have to be to make our team as successful as you want and need them to be.
Yeah. So now, outcome of this meeting is, again, more training to the assistant who is profiled to you. Now, all these routines, these foundational, just simple systems.
Here's what success looks like week over week.
Yep. Here's what we're going to go implement into the clients, into their routine, daily, weekly, whatever it is. They're reading through that. And now we're marrying what you want them to do and how you want them to do it. And the next thing that's happening behind the scenes is your COO is now starting to craft this in written processes, like in a Word doc format, which is the initial foundation of your system of procedure. We go through the routine, we say some simple things, the COO now goes and takes it weedy, in the weeds of the step-by-step. Oh, I see that we're doing email management for you on a daily basis in the morning, and there's some cute little things. I'm like, clean the junk, you know, da-da-da-da. It's like, what does that actually mean? And Samantha then will craft these written processes with all the details and work with the assistant behind the scene, get them all trained up. And then that next call is where Samantha is presenting these processes for you to refine with her. And that assistant is there you meet them. It's not really their call to lead, but it's critical that they're hearing now your feedback on all these systems, the typical ways people do them, the way Samantha has written out these processes. And as you're making adjustments, this human is hearing it live and you're meeting them. And from that meeting, you can kick off with your administrative assistant. Straight after that, you can get to work. There's more onboardings with the team coming, but typically we will level in that administrative assistant first.
At this point, once you've had that first kind of refinement meeting on that basic SOP, what we're doing is we're taking all those now tasks that we talked about to that side of the spectrum that is, this is how you do it. This is how you run with it. This is what success looks like. Right there from three meetings, we've gotten you there.
And we will tell you, if you're not in an executive partnership, we will tell you exactly the work you need to do as a business owner to continue to build your business and build out these processes and document them. We build business off of process, not humans. Not humans. Can't say it enough. Love humans. We love them. We take care of them.
Our people are our superpower, but people come and go.
Yes. Building a business, you don't sell the business with the people attached to it. I mean, like sometimes it goes down like that, but like not. And you don't want to be in a panic that if you thought this human who would never leave you left, all your hard work and time you built into the systems that just live inside the human now walk away with them. So it is that tough love conversation that if you cannot hold yourself accountable, you can do a very low-level executive program that just marries in your COO on a little bit of a higher level to continue to work and document these processes.
The futures, even the things you never planned to give away, should still have a written system behind it.
Yeah, and the continued coaching, if you were at the point of delegation and you were going to invest your money into some type of coaching thing, I would put it into something that works with you, you know, continues to develop the foundation. Don't jump all over the place. Have one goal, one mission. I'm going to get this human to work. And as this human gets to work, we're going to document these processes. And if you can't show up for that because you've got 87 other thousand things going on that need you to take lead in this thing that you know is necessary, like this is the necessary evil of it. You don't need it right now because you're getting your human to work. You need it in the future. You need it for your future self. And your right now self wants to avoid it. Basically, like if you don't have a bookkeeper categorizing your expenses, you're avoiding it because you don't need it right now. And then you wait till the end of the year and you got 12 months to do and you're like, oh, this is miserable. This is terrible. Your future self needs this written system of procedure. So when you get to the point of growth and you're diversifying roles, you are not starting from ground zero again. You're starting on a different level because you have the foundation. Or this human that you never thought is leaving you is leaving, you're not in a panic. It's like everything is there. And yes, it stinks. I'm not discounting the fact that when you have a personnel swap, it can be a change, right? And some people don't like change. It depends on where you are on the change spectrum.
And we know, we've talked to you guys about this a lot. We're annoying because we care and we're annoying because we know it's critical. But today is about onboarding, so let's keep going through it.
So past that, you get going with your assistant. Now, depending on your needs, you might go to marketing, you might go to design. Some people make the decision to wait to initiate their drafting and rendering until there's a project ready to go, so they might swing to marketing. But for sake of just, you've got all projects going on, let's go into drafting next.
Yep.
So inside that routine, there's that same conversation. If you're consistent in always needing drafting and rendering support, then there are systems baked inside to either meet with them or some type of task delegation system that we might carve out. Or it might just be as needed because you don't have that consistency. Regardless, what design onboarding is one of two pathways. You might be a human that has your layers, you have your CD set, you have all your line weights, very particular. You really are someone who's got it down. I'm not looking for enhancement or change. I really just need to integrate someone into my systems. And in that instance, that design onboarding really does become a little bit more of a show and tell on your side and a collection of information to make sure that we can set all the standards correctly in the back end. I would say a lot of times, more times than not, we have clients who are in that enhancement phase. So we will basically go through an entire presentation and a showcase of all of our standards. We have a couple options. We'll go through how you like to notate drawings. We'll go through basically concept, design development stage, and construction documentation. We'll hit all of those phases. We also do a show and tell to align levels of notation, what measurements you do want to show and how you want to show them, internal margin, external margin, going through types of renderings from black and white, illustrative, to modeled, to photorealistic, aligning what technologies we are using for our team. You know, we purchase seats in CAD, in SketchUp, in Chief, and we do have some specialty technology knowledge that we're diving into ARCHICAD and MyDoma.
We have a foyer specialist and other things like that.
So we just kind of get an alignment. And if you're not sure, then we get an alignment with that, pros and cons of different softwares. At the end of that presentation, we ultimately review all of our layers. So this is our set. You can make changes to that, but that helps you understand how you could kind of turn things on and off and what your drawings could look like so that you could better communicate with your drafter. We also cover best ways to delegate to the drafter because this is a different team. This is a team that their task execution is way longer typically than any administrative task. It is also a team that is much harder to delegate to than an admin because a lot of what your admin means is like you can answer on the fly, on the go, or look at something real quickly and give it feedback versus on that drafting side, you really need to mark up that drawing. It takes time to look at it. It takes time for you to feed them that information. And so we go over best practices in exchanging that. And then a couple other deliverables we send out. This onboarding is like really loaded with a lot of like, here's all this information at the end. But we do cover like common mistakes that people make and certain types of drawings and things we can do to protect making mistakes at installation and also have a measurement guide checklist because we found it was pretty common for returning back to that second site visit that you feel like, can I bill it? I just forgot a measurement to help you with that. So that's design onboarding.
I think a lot of the design onboarding specifically is really about like a shared vocabulary. You know, at this stage, we've had someone say, request a floor plan, and it's what we might have previously called an as-built. And so now we've spent more time putting in more information, and all they wanted was the dang shell, you know? Little things like that to just have that shared vocabulary of your process. When you ask for X, this is what it tends to look like. Okay, are we enhancing that? Here's something we've done before. Do you want to implement any of this? No. This is the one. Here's the template. This is what I want it to look like. Title blocks, always the same. If you've given us your logo here in onboarding, we're not asking for it again 7 months later when you come back for the next drawing. It's really just about getting someone to share your vocabulary, know what your work looks like, enhance that if you want to, and make sure there is just a complete sense of consistency in all your design work.
Yeah. Oh, and we have the estimated hours menu because that's always a hot topic. Like how long do certain deliverables take and things like that. Okay, so outcomes of this call. So the design team manager runs you through that call, sends you all those deliverables after the call. We also have all of our standardized measured. So like all of our typical allowances that we send to you so that you can make those updates. Big one I say that we focus on is like wall thickness, states change for sheetrock and insulation. So there are just some things to look at. Big download of information. What happens behind the scenes? Same thing. We do a profiling. What are the common drawings or tasks that are going to be delegated? If it's renderings and technical drawings, we might have two people on where you have a rendering specialist and a technical drafter. If renderings are not that common, then we just give you your technical drafter and we're like, okay, when the time comes, they can go get Pascal and get him integrated. So behind the scenes, there's always a team meeting where there's a full client review. Because even though we're going to give you a dedicated drafter, this is one of those areas that is very collaborative. Because if your drafting support is heavy, it's really heavy. It's not like short heavy or you have a big project that's three floors. That drafter might want to bring in someone else on the team so that they're working on one floor and a peer is working on another. So we do like to do a full showcase to the drafting team just to understand this is the technology, this is the preferences. So if there's someone who's on a team that uses that technology, you may anticipate possibly working with this human. So we do that showcase. And then your next meeting with the design manager, you meet your dedicated drafter. And that's just kind of a meet and greet. And we usually recommend to get your first task set up or have that task being built on that call so that you can get some additional coaching or strategy of being able to share. Usually, you know, the file sharing is just getting on the same page for how you're going to do that, because those can sometimes be large. And yeah, so that's design boarding. And then right after that second call, you can continue on, or your drafter can get started right away on whatever task you have going for them. Okay, Ev, then basically they would then pass to you.
Yeah, marketing onboarding often comes, I don't even mean next chronologically, but for the purpose of this conversation, now you're ready to bring on a marketing assistant. Pretty different process, I'd say, because the very first thing is going to be a strategy call. Even if you're coming to me saying, like, I just want someone to create Instagram posts for me, totally fair. We're still going to start with a strategy call because authenticity is so important to us. No one can create content on your behalf if we haven't had first this big download and brand and strategy conversation. So I'm really going to go backwards to go forwards. I want to get to know you individually. I want to really get to know your business, your brand identity as you would describe it now. This is another one that has a lot of, are we enhancing or do you love it? This is set. We're just running with it. What is your target market geographically? The only thing we can't do for you is be a local. So we want to have same things, that shared vocabulary for your target market. Who is your ideal client? What are your ideal projects look like? Let's discover what that true, you know, North Star is in terms of what we're all trying to achieve together. Your messaging comes out of this conversation. So all super important. Once we've had that whole conversation, then we move forward to actual marketing strategy. What are you doing right now? What's working? What are your primary conversions that we're driving to? So that we can start to say, okay, now I can talk to you about how a marketing assistant could support that by either creating new activities in your marketing strategy or taking over some of the ones that you've been doing to now. So usually that conversation's about an hour and a half total. From there, we've found what are the big areas of opportunity, either because you haven't been doing them at all, and it's something I definitely want to implement with our marketing team, or because it's something that is working and you no longer need to run anymore. From there, I'm going to put together for you a proposal, a proposed strategy. Here's everything that I think 4DBiz can do for you, either because it was an area of opportunity that you maybe didn't come thinking that you wanted us working on with you, or because this is the I just want social media off my plate kind of conversation. My proposal will be based on our strategy conversation, everything that I would do if it was up to me, and I'll often be working backwards from your marketing budget. I always, always, always in our strategy conversation ask about your realistic, sustainable marketing budget so that my proposal doesn't come from left field being, you know, three times more than what you were expecting. So we're always going to have that conversation. Be prepared for that conversation in your marketing onboarding process.
And I want to say, listen to the data dump episode to do the financial exercise before you meet Evelyn for this call, because a lot of people also don't know. You tell me.
Right.
Da, da, da. And I want to say that these onboardings, the reason why the executives run these onboardings is because we overeducate. We want you to know all the things and then also realign a possible incorrect expectation. Marketing is like heavy in this lane, I feel like. So do the data dump and then go to Ev.
Yep, I totally agree. So we've had our big strategy call. I've put together my proposal for you. Okay, here's everything that I think we could and should be doing right now. Sometimes it'll kind of be in phases, like, okay, here's what you asked for. Here's this very first task type that you asked for. And then here's where I would really want us to go based on what you've told me. So sometimes that's relevant. And then we have a refinement meeting where we'll get together. You can cherry pick, you know, I'm not ready for this right now. Or yes, I'm so glad you added that in, but let's come back to it in 6 months. Really refine exactly what we're going to take on for you now, what that would look like in terms of monthly services. And you're going to meet your marketing assistant so we can talk about, okay, for all of these right now, here are the first steps. We're not just going to get in your LinkedIn and start sending messages. We're going to craft the messaging, go through a round of revisions for you. Typically, that's a week or 2 week process, depending on how many segments we're talking to. And then the LinkedIn messaging starts. So out of onboarding, you have your exact strategy for what we're going to be doing for you right now. All of your timeline and expectations in terms of first steps to get started. You have met your marketing assistant. You know that they've been trained behind the scenes on your brand, your target markets, everything we've already talked about. They've gone to your website and soaked that all in so that they can really start creating things authentically for you right away and with you. And then you have on your team an administrative specialist ready to really keep your systems running daily, weekly, and beyond. You have a drafter and potentially a rendering specialist ready to take on those really time-consuming as-needed tasks when your projects arise. And you have a marketing specialist helping you create that marketing foundation that will ultimately, in time, build your pipeline. And if you're like, what do you mean in time? Go back to the marketing episodes we've recently published to get those realistic expectations. And that is why even when those individuals around you build to that 30 hours, let's say, that is why it is still a stronger system than having one 30-hour employee in your office who will always ebb and flow based on the one quick fire that you need. These are three or more people that can stay in their lane, where they are strong, where they are trained, moving their priorities forward consistently. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Please don't be paying $15 an hour. That actually translates to $65 an hour because you are just paying to fill fluff.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it.
Because there's a new solution available to you. And that is what we call 4D Biz. And that is literally why we're here. We want you to be successful. We want your business to be scalable. And we want it to exist like that without it sucking the life out of you. So if that sounds good to you, just remember you can always schedule a free call with us.
And say amen.
Amen. Until next time.
Until next time. So here's what we walked you through today. We gave you the exact onboarding process that takes you from overwhelmed designer to thriving with a fractional dedicated team, an administrative specialist, a drafter, and a marketing assistant, all working in their lane, all moving your business forward. This is not theory. This is a proven system that works. And it works because we have spent years perfecting every single step of it so that you don't have to figure it out alone.
And here's what I want you to really sit with. Delegating successfully will not be instant. It starts with a strong onboarding. Without that, there's no shared vocabulary, no documented systems, no COO behind the scenes making sure the right people are in the right seats. And when you skip those steps, you are setting everyone up to fail, including yourself, especially yourself.
So here's your challenge for this episode. If you've tried to get support before and it didn't stick, I want you to go back and ask yourself, did you actually onboard them? Did you define the roles you need? Did you build the systems first? Did you document the processes? Did you create the routines? Because the answer to better delegation is almost never a different human. The answer is better onboarding. And now you know exactly what that looks like.
And if you're sitting there thinking, I know I need a team, but I have no idea how to build this or where to even start, that is exactly why we created this process. You don't need to build your onboarding process from scratch. You definitely don't need to figure out the matching, the training, the management, or the development. We have done that work for you. We bring it all to you. All you have to do is show up, do the homework, and commit to becoming the leader your team needs you to be.
So when you're ready to stop trying to DIY your delegation and start onboarding a fractional dedicated team the right way, schedule a free call with us at 4designerbusiness.com or click the link in the show notes. You're just one phone call away from getting the support you need.
If you found value in today's episode, please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen. New episodes drop every Tuesday, so be sure to subscribe so you never miss one. And please send us your anonymous voicemails at 4designerbusiness.com. Maybe you've tried to onboard an assistant before and it fell apart, or maybe your onboarding went well, but you're feeling stuck from there. Whatever your question is, send it in and you just might receive free coaching on a future episode.
Remember, a great assistant starts with a great onboarding. Not a great hire, not a great resume, but a great process and a strong routine. And now you have the roadmap. So stop waiting for the perfect moment and start building the team that will carry your business forward. The systems are waiting. The support is waiting. The only thing missing is you. Make the call.
So until next time, keep designing and keep dreaming.
Let's get it, babes.